Well, I'm going to get started with an oldie but a goodie. Okay, you might have heard this before, that's okay. It's a story about a family that's coming home from church on Sunday school. Didn't like a lot of parents do. They ask their kids, well, what happened in Sunday school? What you learned today?
I know the ladies ask that kind of a question, right, guys?
Amen. Okay. So this mom asked this son, what did you learn in Sunday school today? And the boy said, well, a little different today. We had a lot of fun, and we learned a new song. We don't always sing in Sunday school, but we learned a new song. She said, huh, cool. And then he said, I also learned today what God's first name is. He says, what God's first name is. And he said, yeah, what God's first name is. She said, so it's not Yahweh or Yeshua or Elohim. What's his first name? And he said, well, Mark, I'm surprised you don't know it. His name is Andy. And the mom said, his name is Andy. And the little boy said, yeah, don't you know the song? Andy, well, with me, Andy. Oh, Andy. Da, 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 da. You know what? That joke is so bad. Amen? Come on, I'm working hard up here for you. Well, really, this kind of segues nice into the message. Because our theme is entitled, Living Strong in Relationships. As we walk with one another. I'll tell you this, we are not going to walk as well with one another. Be all that we can be, if you will, if we are not first walking with God. Daily receiving His care, His love, His forgiveness, His ongoing grace. So, to further get the ball rolling, I want to talk a little bit about significant walks in your life. Now, I've had all week to think about this, significant walks. But if you take some time later today or tomorrow or sometime during the week and just think about the significant walks you've had with God, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. One of my most significant walks was when I couldn't even walk. I was held in my mom and dad's arms, and they took the walk for me, but nonetheless, I participated in the walk because I was with them. And you know what they did? They walked down the center aisle of the church, and they came to something like this, a baptismal font, and I was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And my relationship with Jesus Christ began. I received God's grace. You know, I am so very grateful that I had Christian parents who took a walk with me with Jesus. And I want to encourage all the parents, every parent in here, walk your kids to Christ. Take your kids to Christ. Keep bringing them to Jesus Christ. And what may even be more powerful than that, you walk to Christ too. Show your kids that you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And listen, they're going to catch it. They're going to get it. And they're going to have a deep, abiding belief as they grow. Then I grew up a little bit, you know, probably 13 years old, 14 years old, and I took another significant walk with about 15 other kids. You might be guessing by now. We walked down the center aisle, and we came up in front of the church, and we lined up, and then the pastor asked us a whole bunch of questions. You know what that was called? It was called Confirmation Day. And I'm here to tell you, I passed. I made it. But that was a great walk as well, having the opportunity to learn the Word of God and to grow in my faith. It was absolutely wonderful to stand before God in the church and say, yes, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And yes, I believe the Word of God to be true. And yes, I'm going to be faithful to the church. And you know what? I think for the most part, it's worked pretty good. But that's all glory to God. Do His ongoing work in my life. Well, then I took another very, very significant walk a little later. For me, it wasn't maybe as long as somebody else's. I came out of the front office of a church downtown Memphis, Tennessee, Trinity Lutheran Church, and I walked about this far, and I stood here. And then I watched a really pretty lady. Really pretty. I don't know if you've ever seen her. She's right there. She's right. But I watched a real pretty lady take a walk down the center aisle with her father, Sydney, and she stopped here. This is what was happening. Boom, 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 boom. that day, I learned how to breathe deep. Then I went and I received Lucy, and we walked forward, and then we took those vows. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And so far, it's always been better, right? I've never forgotten. maybe another time. Well, then, another great and significant walk. When my oldest daughter was ready to be married, Amy, came walking up the aisle with Amy. And you know, the entire way I was walking with her, I was talking about the promises of God, how much God loved her, and how beautiful she was. And then as I was walking up the aisle, I stopped right here, and I said, I'll be right back. And I walked up front, and I said, who gives this woman to be near to this man? And I stepped back down, and I said, her mother and I, and I went back up. And on the wedding progressed. And that's just how it went. And you know what? The people laughed just like you did. And you know what? I think in the name of Jesus, we're allowed to have fun at church. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. Yep. And then I took another walk. Very, very similar to that walk with my youngest daughter, Beth. Very same thing, except that walk was like, I'm guessing Lucy, at least twice as long as this. And that was a long walk and a great walk. And I remember Beth was coaching me. She said, now, Dad, go slow. I really wanted to enjoy this. And you know, it was phenomenal. It was great. Lots of significant walks, and I know you share in some of those same walks as I did. But then I've also had some really, really difficult walks. Like walking into at least a few homes where there's been suicide. Hard. You have no idea how many, I would say hundreds, of hospital corridors I've walked down to pray with somebody before they died. Or maybe not getting there before they died. Loving the family and encouraging the family. But after that happens, there's a walk that I would take with that family. It is, generally speaking, I lead them into the church, and then we sit down and we do what we're doing right now. We're being fed by the Lord God. We're being encouraged by His love. And we hear again the good news of Jesus Christ. That even though a person dies, yet believing in Jesus as Lord and Savior, we know we're going to live for an eternity. I mean, it is so good. It is so wonderful being a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, the greatest thing that could ever happen to you and to me is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's what we need today, and then that which is He has promised us for an eternity. But right now, I want to turn your attention to our gospel lesson for today. And we're going to spend some time unpacking this scripture, Luke chapter 7, because it's all about God showing us how to walk with one another. When one just kind of breezes through this text, we don't always get this. When we just kind of breeze through this text, we just say, well, somebody was sick, Jesus was sent for, guy got healed, now on to another story. There is so much more in this story. You guys just listen as I share this with you. Luke chapter 7. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, He entered Capernaum. There a centurion. I want to stop right there. Centurion. This is a Roman officer. This is a Roman official. This is a man of position and power and prestige, and he has at least 100 people under him. Okay? There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. Well, what's significant about that? The centurion's servant was sick and about to die. And how did the centurion know that? Why did he care? Because he valued him highly. He valued him highly. He was already walking in a relationship with him. And I think the servant with the centurion, I'm thinking they were probably pretty close. They were probably pretty good friends. They learned to trust one another. Scripture again says, he valued him highly. Do you hear our theme in that? Living strong in relationships as we walk with one another.
That's what the centurion was doing for this servant. He was thinking about the dying. The centurion heard of Jesus. He'd known of Jesus. He was aware of who Jesus was. He knew that Jesus was special. He knew that Jesus had power that he did not have. I believe the centurion, having authority, knew that there really was no greater authority than the Lord Jesus. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him. But what's significant about that? Okay, big deal. He sent some elders of the Jews to go get Jesus. A Roman officer and elders of the Jews? It's like oil and water. These are two different classes and groups of people who really don't get along, generally speaking, don't like one another very much. What did we learn about the centurion? He was involved in other people's lives. He was involved in building friendships, in building relationships. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him. They were close enough where these Jews would honor his request, and they could even have conversation about the centurion's servant. It would have been so easy for the centurion to have said, well, I don't care much for my servant, but for the elders of the Jews to say, you know, we got other things to do, this guy's a servant. No, no. The centurion understood. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. They pleaded earnestly with Jesus. Why did they do that? I think they cared for the centurion. I think they really respected the centurion. And then that carries over, and they also cared and respected the servant. Is this beginning a little bit to sound like the work of the church? You see, this isn't just the story of a guy said, go tell Jesus. No, this is the church. You guys, listen to me. This is the church getting involved and doing the very work of Jesus Christ himself. This is what a healthy body of Christ looks like. I love this story. This isn't the story about, hey, somebody's sick, go tell the pastor, and he'll call on about 500 people. This is a story about, hey, somebody's sick. God told me, I'm going to go. I'm going to serve. I'm going to care. I'm going to get others involved to help me be thorough for the needs of this individual. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This is what they said. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. Do you hear already how these elders of the Jews and the centurion had intersected in life, had a relationship before? They had conversation. They trusted one another. And these Jewish people knew that, you know, this centurion, he's getting it. And he recognizes the power of Jesus. These two groups of people were friends. And they were all doing the work of the Lord together. Now, here's what's interesting about this. The synagogue that the centurion helped build, this very same synagogue was found back in 1905 by a German expedition. It's there. It was found. And what I love about the Bible, it's not only true, but it's historically true. The Word of God is something, my friends in Christ Jesus, that we can believe and stand on, because God doesn't fail and his Word doesn't return void. Amen?
Amen?
This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So listen to this. As a result of people helping one another, Jesus gets involved. Scripture says, so Jesus went with them. Do you know that our walking for others and our prayers can get Jesus Christ involved in the lives of others? Did you guys know that? That's how effective our lives can be. And listen, what's the greatest thing you can do for somebody else other than getting Jesus Christ involved in their lives? Come on. That's power. He was not far from the house. Jesus wasn't far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him. Now, before we go on, you hear what's going on here? When the centurion sent friends, he sent more friends. Okay, the servant's his friends. The elders of the Jews are his friends. Now he sends more friends. This guy's got a lot of friends. Sure, he's a pretty good guy, but what made him so? Not only that he was a Roman officer, but it was how he was involved in a loving and in a caring way in the lives of other people. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. This is why I did not even consider myself worthy for you to come. But say the word," man, he believed in the word of God. Hope you believe in the word of God. He said, "Say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. That one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." Now, listen to what I'm about to read next. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Do you make Jesus amazed? Do the fruits of your life amaze Jesus Christ? Do you know that we can amaze Jesus Christ? Here's what I know about Jesus. We're all amazed at Jesus, amen? We're amazed at his love. But you know what? We can amaze him too. And how do we amaze him? Not to get to heaven, we're going, forget about that. But we amaze him by loving others, by getting involved in another person's life, by walking with them through the ups and the downs of life. Just love this text. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such a great faith in all of Israel." Whew. I don't know. I kind of wouldn't mind Jesus saying that about me. What do you think? Would you be blessed if Jesus said that about you? Wouldn't that be pretty cool? Wouldn't that be great? Hey, Jim. Jesus is amazed at you, man. He thinks you have great faith. Hey, Farrah. Jesus is amazed. He thinks you have great faith. You can say that to all of us. But in this way, in Luke chapter 7, he makes it very, very clear. And he's amazed and thankful for us. When we don't just get what he's given, but when we give what he's given, as we walk with others, living strong in relationships, as we walk with each other. You know, obviously, I've already alluded to it several times, this is Memorial Day weekend. And think of those thousands upon thousands of men and women who've taken a walk for you and for me. They've taken a walk, but they didn't go back. They died. They took a walk, boots on the ground. They took a walk in a jeep, in a tank. They took a walk in a plane. They took a walk on a ship. They served the country, and they gave that incredible sacrifice. And this is obviously a weekend that we thank God for what they've done and for their families. And it's also a weekend, isn't it, in which we honor them by walking our prayers to God. And again, thanking God for their lives and their families, and even walking to some cemeteries and national cemeteries to honor the fallen and what we have received as a result of that. But I tell you this, and you know this to be true. I'm quite certain any number of you right now can stand up here and finish this message. There's somebody, one and only, who took a walk for the world. Took a walk for the world. And only he could have accomplished what he did accomplish. By walking throughout his life in a perfect way. By walking to Calvary. By laying his life down. But oh, glory to God, and he rose again. Amen. And what a great true story that is.
And now the Lord Jesus wants to empower us to be like that centurion and to love people, to care for people, to do whatever it takes to help people. I think we can do it. What do you think? Can we do it?
Yes.
Do we have the desire to do it? Amen?
Amen.
Well, it's obviously Memorial Day weekend, and what we're going to do right now in honor of that, and we've done this at the earlier services too, I'm going to ask for Lance to put on the screen the pledge to the American flag and the pledge to the Christian flag. We're going to stand right now on our feet, everybody. We're going to stand. So we're going to begin with the pledge to the American flag. Here we go.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now to the Christian flag.
I pledge allegiance to the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ and to the faith for which it stands, one Savior, eternal, with mercy and grace for all.
Praise be to God. Thank you so much for doing that. I'm going to ask for our worship team to come up this morning, Cheryl and Terry. And I want to ask you right now to bow your heads as we ask God to cement this work he's done in our hearts, that we would now live it out. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and we praise your holy name this morning for your incredible, life-changing word. We thank you that you chose, oh God, to have this story recorded in Scripture, because you know it's powerful, because you know it can impact lives, just like it impacted lives when it was first occurring. We thank you, Lord God, for the centurion. We thank you for those elders of the Jews. We thank you, Lord God, for those friends of the centurion that continue to get involved in that servant's life. But Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus, we thank you above all things that every single one of them knew who to go to. And that was you. That was you. The one who was taken, the greatest one, set us free, and now encourages us to live strong in relationships as we walk with each other. We thank you, Lord God, that although sometimes we let go of you, you never let go of us. But help us to be even more faithful, and particularly in relationship with you, and then in carrying out your grace and love in the lives of others. Lord Jesus, we praise you, because you never let go. And we ask this in your name. And together we say, amen. Amen. All right, let's sing that song.
I will be the one.
want you to look to your neighbor again and say, I'm not going to let go of the Lord. And then I want you to look to your neighbor and say, I'm not going to let go of others. Now, if that's hard work for you and you had difficulty, stay. I'm going to preach the message again. All right? Hey, listen, absolutely wonderful to have you here today. I want to encourage you to kind of hang out a little bit and share the peace of the Lord with one another. Make sure you put a hug on somebody before you leave. I just want to encourage you to continue to come over and over and over again and let the grace and the love of God continue to change your life and then change this world. Amen?
Amen.
As always, having been loved by God, we now exist to
love God, one another, and all people.
God bless you, church. Thanks for coming today. Love you.